Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the city of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
You should have been pulled in the front, but they have faith in you. You should have been pulled in the fifth, but they had faith in you. And you said, oh, don't treat.
Good Monday afternoon to you all. You are live with myself, Michael Govier, and Dr. David A. Meyer. He is back with us. He was on the show, it was about 6 weeks ago or so.
Yeah, earlier summer. Good to be back. Yeah. Thank you for having me again.
Of course, man. I thought it would be fun. Well, I don't know if it's fun, but it certainly should be useful and informative to y'all because injuries are still out there and they're always a problem. And David has experience. For those of you that missed our episode, you can go back and watch it here on the YouTube channel. Sub. Watch it live and check it out. Or you can listen to the podcast version on any standard podcast platform. What's your favorite podcast platform, Dave? What do you use when you listen to podcasts?
Spotify, through and through. I'm finding myself more on Spotify than anything else. Apple's got too many idiosyncrasies I'm not a big fan of. No offense, Apple.
No. You just angered the big giant, and now you're not going
to. I don't know. I'm trying to get top 25, so I don't want to do anything to screw up those chances for my podcast, Injury to Elite. But yeah, no, Spotify. Definitely Spotify.
Yeah, so again, if you missed the show with Dave, we talked extensively about injury stuff. We also talked about his own experiences and the Injured to Elite podcast, Injured to Elite course. It's a lot going on. Dave, fill everybody in about what they need to know if they want to know more about your work.
Yeah, go check my book at Injured to Elite on Amazon. It's the missing link for physical rehabilitation. If you have an injury, we know how to treat you physically, but mentally, we're just scratching the surface. So I created a comprehensive guide to help you in that department and actually just started filming my digital course to complement that now. And so I got all the lights and the cameras in the background here. You can't see it, but baseball gets me energized. So get me away from this course stuff and let's talk fun baseball.
Damn, man, you're really taking things up a notch. You got a course, you got lighting.
Yeah,
you sound
yeah.
Terrific. This guy, you know, I feel like I was there on the ground floor early on, even though it was only like 2 months ago.
Yeah, no, I mean, I published the book in October. It took me a year or so to write that. I was on about 30 podcasts outside of my own show over the last several months. But this next year is going to be a ramp up year. Like this is the unleash year. I'm sure just like you with your, you know, you're growing too. I mean, unleash, that's the word. Time to unleash.
Well, you know, we do our best. We take it a day at a time and, we do have overall goals and plans and we hope they do work out at some point, but you know, people aren't here for that. Let's cut the crap. People want to talk injuries. They want to hear what you have to say.
Let's go.
They like you, and they want to know, Dave. Jacob DeGrom. Right forearm tightness. Looks like he'll go on a rehab assignment this week. He's had a... Let's talk for a second about all these little injuries he's had. Yeah. Because he's had so many. And now some people in fantasy realm, in the fantasy realm only, are saying that Gerrit Cole is the best pitcher because he's always on the bump, even if he can't use the sticky stuff anymore. He's still there.
Yeah. Well, DeGrom is interesting this year. He's been bouncing back quite a bit. And let's not forget, years ago, back in 2014, he had some shoulder inflammation going on and off there. This is not anything new to him. It might be part of his game where he has this ability to be sensitive to when something is barking, and this might be his way of managing it. But let's talk about patterns. So if we look at how he's managed this, especially this year, he's gone through this process where he's able to kind of back off the gas pedal a week or two, 3 weeks maybe, and then he bounces back. So right now, pattern-wise, I think it's, as crazy as it might sound to people, it's kind of under control. And again, I just watched a video of him throwing a few days ago, were playing catch before his side that he threw, and he looked okay. Of course, I'm not there. I'm just going based on, you know, looking at the smile on his face, looked free and easy, good follow through. So I'm inclined to believe that he's going to bounce back again. However, look, he's obviously getting to his threshold. He's getting, even if it's just like they're being protective, he's getting to that point where he's really pushing it. I don't know how much better he could be. So we have to be honest about it. Like, you know, you start spinning the tires in a Ferrari and yeah, you're pretty close to the edge. So he's right at that point. And hopefully they're just on top of it. That's my thinking.
Beautiful. Jacob DeGrom's a Ferrari. That is a, that's the kind of analogy you get here from Mr. David Meyer. He's with us. We're talking injuries. This is, I call this, what did I call this? At the trainer's table with Dr. David.
I like
David
it.
Meyer.
I like it. I like think? It. I love
that's
it.
That's what I labeled it. I think it's fun. I know that Jacob DeGrom always has little nicks and issues, and he's also very proud and tough. And he might do more harm to himself. Guy. He might, well, both physically too. He is, you're right. It's probably more of a mental tough. If you're hurt physically, doesn't it take a tremendous amount of mental toughness to overcome that to want to continue to play?
It does. And I mean, I think what we're looking at is a player that has a good feel for himself. And I think it's a collaborative effort probably between DeGrom's people outside of the team, DeGrom himself and the team being looking at him as a true asset and managing him as an asset. So like, look, I mean, I don't know what kind of data they're getting. It could be a lot of different factors, but nobody should be freaking out just yet. I think that things are under control with him and we just have to trust in that process that's been working. It seems like a few other times, it doesn't seem to me like there's an underlying significant structural injury that they're not talking about. I truly think that this is related to load and recovery and management. I think this is the future of the game in these types of players, by the way.
You're not a soothsayer. You're not a crystal ball dude, but we should see Jacob DeGrom in August, barring any setbacks, right?
That's kind of what I'm getting at. I don't think that we're going to, you know, see him not pitch very much the rest of this year. I think we're going to see him plenty. I think that this might be a pattern. They might have to utilize these strategies a little often with this type of player. You know, you change the tires on those types of cars a lot, you know, pit stops. You might see a lot of pit stops with a DeGrom and we already have. So I'm honestly not too concerned about his going forward with him specifically. I think they really have figured it out to some degree with him, or at least they're trying to, and they're not being laissez-faire about it. They're taking action and they're letting him have some of that cool down recovery. I mean, the guy pitches his butt off. Let's be honest.
Mets are known though for, well, they have a reputation now.
They
whether
do.
It's accurate or not, for being pretty poor when it comes to training and injury recovery, well, or even identifying out. Injuries.
Yeah, I'll jump into it. So I worked with a lot of players that played for the Mets before they came to the Cardinals. And I think a lot of it was ownership. I think a lot of it previously was meddling from ownership and getting involved in areas that they shouldn't have. I think we're in a very new territory and direction. Just like when my colleague Eric Cressy came with the Yankees, there's going to be several years where you're figuring out the flow and how it all is going to work out together. So the Mets are in new ownership. They have some new staff. Their medical program will be ever evolving. I don't think that it's any kind of lack of competency right now. I think that it's simply figuring out how to manage certain high priority assets that are putting tremendous load on their body. And I mean, I've never seen anybody like a DeGrom really putting that much. I mean, that's just it's incredible. It's really, you know, you talk about Gerrit Cole. I don't know. I don't think I've seen, you know, how many back-to-back start. It's just DeGrom's numbers, DeGrom's velocity and this is really an outlier case. We haven't seen too many of DeGrom's in our lifetime. So,
Okay. I'll leave it there. I was going to ask about him throwing too hard. Do you think that's overhyped too, real quick, I guess?
So that's kind of what I'm getting at in terms of DeGrom's game. Like DeGrom, I think that he's a player that has good control of his gears, but maybe he does need to figure out how to mix in more off speed, he's got certain pitches that are so devastating. It's hard to get away from that, especially his fastball, right? But, that's a good point. I know he bounced between the slider and a little more slider, a little less slider. Is that right? So I don't know. I think that he might have to figure that out a little bit. Is it another pitch? Is it perfecting another pitch? Yeah, that's probably an off-season conversation, how he's going to retool that for sure.
Well, we talked when you were on the podcast prior about these side injuries, these oblique injuries being the result of guys spending too much time in the cage and swinging too hard and too often.
Sure, for sure.
I would assume the same issue would be throwing too hard too often. It's going to eventually, I mean, we already know the torque we're putting on the elbows of these pitchers is already at an all-time, it's like almost defying physics, right? It's getting out of control. And there was definitely nobody doing this in the 1920s, 30s, or 40s. It just wasn't how it was back then.
Not even last, not even two, 3 years ago.
Exactly.
It's just getting bigger, faster, stronger every year. Yeah, it is. They do have to be very cognizant of the non-competition load. I think that's a key. We certainly, you're not going to really be able to mimic what he's doing on the mound, especially in a pitcher like DeGrom. But I think it's going to become more and more of a focus on what he is doing off of the mound, even though it already has been that, getting a little more objective, figuring out when is the optimal day to throw the side? How many pitches does he throw on the side? Because at the end of the day, when he goes on the mound, he's got to go shove. He's got to go do it. So I think the focus is going to be more and more of the off the field management and the load management. How that, remember, when I was with the Cards in 2015 starting, load management was like brand, it was a baby. It was an infant. Okay, so where's load management right now in 2021? It's still a baby. So yep, we have things to collect data on. We have things to look at, but still we're 5-10 years away from really getting this down. So we're still going through that process of figuring it out. And you know what? Slowing players down is the best way to be proactive when something's barking. So he's getting to that point, and you know, but I don't think that's going to, I really think this is just going to be in certain players' repertoire where they have these pauses. I don't, you know, not trying to get into the politics of the IL or anything like that, but this might be here to stay in a lot of players.
Oh, come on, man. You already did that out when you were on here a while ago. If you want to hear more about that, David was dropping dimes, great stuff about players and teams both manipulating IL to their advantage based on situations.
I'm not saying this is manipulating IL, but I think that soreness is now IL. You know, I think IL is now becoming a soreness, the soreness list. All right. So I'm not belittling what he might feel, but you know, I'm just making that point. I think it's important to understand that.
Hey, tell it like it is here. That's what we do. We're just trying to be honest. We don't know everything, but we're trying to give honest but educated opinions too. David's got a lot of experience. He's been around. He is a guy who put a lot of work into his education. So I trust what David says. That's why I wanted David on here in the first place. Not only is he a smart dude, he's thoughtful. He's also a good speaker, and he does his own great podcast. Check out his work, Injured to Elite. Follow him on Twitter at Injured to Elite or Instagram, and you can go from there and you can learn about everything else he's doing. It's really good stuff. I really wanted to do this show every Monday because I feel like David deserves more love, and I want to be a part of boosting that up. I'm not saying I'm the guy to do it, but you, every little piece of exposure helps. That's what
let's
I think.
Let's do it. All right, who's next on the list? Let's get some good ones.
Let's talk Chris Sale here. So he's made 2 rehab starts. He went 3 2/3 in his last outing. Struck out 9, but gave up some home runs.
Where is this at?
This is a double A over in Portland Sea Dogs. One of the best logos in the minor leagues, the Portland Sea Dogs, by the way.
Okay. So
I love
striking out 9 in dubs. Okay. Let's not get too excited about that. He should be doing that. So that's great. 3 innings. That's a good amount of load. I want to know how many pitches, because remember another thing, he struck out 9. How many pitches is that? I mean, we want to know that. We want to know how many pitches he's throwing in order to figure out where he's at in the process. Normally, you know, we're accounting for 20 to anywhere from 15 to 30 pitches an inning. So in 3 innings, it could be anywhere. I mean, for him, it could be anywhere from 20 pitches to 60 to 70 pitches. So we want to know the pitch count. We want to know how many threw. That sounds great. Sounds like he's well on his way and getting pretty close. I'm just quickly thinking 3 innings, 3 1/3.
He did give up a home run too. He got into some trouble. He had some runners on base, so he had to get out of jams, which is good because you want to have that practice too. You don't want it all to be easy peasy.
A little stress inning's good. You know, my former mentor used to say this with ACLs, with football players. Say the first year back, you're just contributing. I know people don't want to hear this. So Lance Lynn, I'll use Lance, okay, because I work with Lance. He was one of the first ball players that came down to Jupiter, big leaguer that I was rehabbing. And I'm not going to share any medical information about him. I'm just going to talk about general stuff. So basically, when you think of how many, it's been a progression for Lance getting back to, I think he was really showing some signs of greatness even before his injury, but the level he's at now is pretty phenomenal. So it takes some years sometimes to get the performance side back. So I'm not too, I don't go nuts about strikeouts, home runs, things like that. I want to know that he tolerated the load and that I see an upward trajectory. I want to see strikes first and foremost.
Well, he had really 64 pitches and 46 were strikes. So that's pretty damn good, right?
Sign. That's a great sign. We want to know if his velo's in the ballpark. And even then, we don't go crazy with velo. It'll go up and up as he goes, especially to the big leagues. You'll see it. You'll just see it naturally come back. Just the adrenaline, things of that nature. But that sounds really good. You're gonna. I'm just speaking. My guesstimate here is who's his agent, by the way? Is he a Boris guy?
That's a great question. You would think he is. He's one of the elites, and he's got a massive contract that he signs. For sales agent.
I could be wrong. Now that's something to factor into because some agents have different.
It's B.B. Abbott. Have you ever heard of B.B. Abbott?
No.
Yeah. It's B.B. Abbott.
Right, so it's not a Boris. So, you know, it depends a little bit on the conversation between all them. But with those numbers, I'd be surprised if he's not contributing in the big league level this year.
Really?
Yeah. Now, again, different styles.
We still got August and September, right? I mean,
so what I'm saying, no. I'd be surprised if he was not contributing at the big.
Oh shit! I totally just. Duh, good job hosting, Mike. What are you doing? Good lord! Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I got a friend that I just found out he has a bet, which is a really strange bet. If Chris Sale pitches more than 5 innings in the bigs this year, he's got to eat a bowl of mashed potatoes. But apparently, he hates mashed potatoes. I don't know if he had a gluten allergy or he hates mashed potatoes. I'm not really sure what it is. So.
Wasn't there an actor that did a mashed potatoes diet? The guy from Jay and Silent Bob? He lost a ton of weight. You like that?
Oh, yeah. He did the potato diet that guy from Penn and Teller did, too, because that guy wrote that book. Eat a potato. Yeah. You can eat as much potatoes as you want all the time, and eventually, I guess, you get sick of it, and you start losing weight. It's pretty weird.
Is that what I didn't realize that was the reason. Got it.
Oh, yeah. There's the whole book. I can't remember the name of the guy or the book, but that is a real diet. Anyways, Chris Sale coming to a mound near you in Boston very soon. Stay tuned.
I think he's getting close.
Mookie Betts, right hip inflammation. They didn't put him on the IL for the whole week. They really dragged this out, which is a buzzkill for fantasy players because you like to, you know, after 4 days, usually it's 5 days, right? Like it's like, if he doesn't come back, if someone doesn't come back, they'll usually put him on the IL. But it's a special player. It's Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts has right hip inflammation. We don't know anything more than that, so we're not inside the training room. But how could this be something that affects him long-term with his swing and his gait?
Yeah, so that's a great question. We're seeing a trend of more and more of these non-specific things like inflammation in the hip or the elbow or the shoulder, you know, a torn tendon without even telling us what the tendon is, not really talking about MRIs and x-rays. We're seeing more and more of them being pretty subtle, and it's a business. I mean, it's Intel, right? So they're not showing their cards as much as I think they used to, because they're getting a little bit better about that. So when we think of right hip inflammation, we think of the hip joint and the most common pathologies. We have impingement issues, labral issues. Those are probably the two most common things we'll see. Then you have hip flexor stuff. So it could be as simple as a little hip flexor inflammation or a little tendonitis type of thing, or it could be an impingement situation / labral issue that really can be problematic for either a position player or a pitcher. So this is the type of thing that you want to see what the next week or two looks like. Of course, you want to kind of play it day by day, but there's no reason to think that with good rehab, or let's say maybe they inject some cortisone and do some rehab with that, do a little deload, take a little time off, even if it's a few games, that can clean it right up. I would be more on the side of it's probably not going to in and of itself be a major injury if it's just some hip inflammation, but I'd really be paying close attention for the next 7 to 10 days to see what the direction is. And if the direction is kind of up and down, then maybe is there a labral tear? Is there something a little more structural going on? So it could be a simple thing though, that's cleaned up in the training room.
He was turning his season around before this came about. He had home runs in 3 of 4 games. He went 2-for-3, 3-for-4, 3-for-5, 4-for-4.
So he's got a lot of running under him. And so he's on the bases a lot. So, you know, you'd think, well, if he was turning it around, I would think that maybe he was just putting a lot more, you know, a lot of more miles under his legs than he maybe started the season off with. So it could be load wise. And that would lead me to think maybe perhaps it is just a recovery issue and he does need a little reset and a little rehab.
Yeah, but let me offer another side here real quick.
Sure.
His first half was really bad statistically. He just wasn't produced. I mean, he's supposed to be one of the top five players in baseball.
Right.
And he was way below that. He was like replacement levels. Weird. But he started crushing it now, really turning it on second half. Post All-Star break too, remember? We just came off that a couple weeks ago. I would think that they would want him to get right because he was getting right. So I would think, we don't know this, but what if it's actually a legit injury that's like, oh man, Mookie was really hitting his stride, but he actually really could be in some pain now.
Yeah, no. So don't misinterpret how I talk about some of these things. I think everything is legitimate. I'm not saying that. But in terms of severity, it's very common. Somebody would come into the training room saying, yeah, my hip is super, it's on fire. It's super sore. And it could just very well be that, like, you know, he did tweak something. There is inflammation inside of that hip joint, but it could also be that rehab will be very effective even over a course of 1 to 4 weeks to help kind of turn a corner. Now, if it is a traumatic thing or something that built up while, you know, he was turning the corner or one game, rounding the bases, what have you, could have been something off the workout, then sure, it could be legitimate, but still I'm going to err on the side of it probably spike in load, probably is a recovery thing, probably super inflamed. And I think rehab's going to help him out. I would say four weeks tops, this type of thing, more likely 2 weeks. And I think he should be cleaned up. You're going to see him perform better.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just a couple things going on here. It's the Dodgers. We know they like to play with the IL. They have title aspirations. They just won the World Series last year. So there's a lot of factors that we can't really give you much more than that.
But I'll go on intuition.
We know.
I'll go on intuition. Yeah. I'm going to say that he's going to clean it up in the training room, and he's going to be back sooner than later. I'm just going to take some intuition guess here.
We're talking live with Dr. David A. Meyer, Injured to Elite on Twitter, on Instagram. Hit him up. He's got books. He's got podcasts. He's got the future of mental health and physical health all rolled into one for athletes. He's here to help you, too. He's a great guy. He's a killer entertainer, and he's on the Palazzo Podcast. Two L's, two Z's, of course.
Oh, I haven't
done that once today. There
it is. Give me two.
I forgot to do that. Got to throw that in, even if it's a short, quick show. We're doing a new segment. This is called At the Trainer's Table with Dr. David A. Meyer. We're covering the injuries that are going on in Major League Baseball. His teammate, Mookie's that is, Cody Bellinger, has been a real buzzkill this year for a lot of people. But he started with the offseason shoulder surgery. So that people were a little worried about that. But he came back really quick from it. It was basically ready to go, which was shocking to a lot of people. But then he had the hamstring that he hurt. And then he hurt it again over the weekend. He was out for a month with the same left hamstring. It's the same one again. Is this just going to... I don't know if he can ever get healthy from this left hamstring the rest of the season.
Let's talk quick. So left hand... So do we know how he injured it? Was it run on a specific...
Yeah, he was on base. He was running and he felt a twinge. So they said they pulled him for precautionary measures on this latest one. He originally did it also running as well when he did it 6 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago.
Okay, so we have a recurrent hamstring strain. These are problematic. We know that. All of us know that have been around this game. We think of the Mets and we think of their outfielder from a few years ago and what he went through on and off. Why am I blanking on his name? Help me out here.
Cody Bellinger? Oh, the Mets?
The Mets outfielder, Cuban ball player that...
Yoenis Cespedes, the guy who walked away from the game last year.
Yeah, Cespedes. So we saw Jose Reyes, another Met there. We've seen these recurrent hamstring issues plague players. My feeling towards it, the hamstring is one of the most important muscles in the baseball player because, much like the rotator cuff, it helps slow them down, slow their leg down, slow their arm down for the rotator cuff. So you can almost think of like the hamstring is like the rotator cuff for the position player. It slows their leg down, right? And it's controlling that. So baseball start, stop. So when they have problems, of course, in their shoulder, rotator cuff for a pitcher, problematic. And for a position player running around, that hamstring issue is a big, big problem. Their posterior chain doesn't work effectively. So I'm very conservative with these. I think a lot of times what happens is, and I'm not placing fault on who I, I know some of the Dodgers training staff. They have great people there. Great staff. But what can happen is the player feels good under submaximal load. Their rehab goes well. And of course, the player wants to return. He obviously wants to return after an offseason shoulder surgery. He wants to play. And how much volume have you really built into the running, the sprinting, all that stuff? Even if he's feeling, even if he's performing back in the show and he's got some good, he's been going around the base paths, fine. You don't know how he's really feeling there. You don't know how his numbers really are. So I don't think we respect hamstring rehab long enough. I think that we have a tendency of kind of returning a little quicker. And that's the time. That's just like the shoulder. You really want to be thorough and complete. Unlike the hip inflammation thing we were talking about, where it's in the joint, it could be recovery. When we're talking about that big muscle that really might not be fully healed or strong, that's a different story. And that's something that can really plague a player. So my if I was in there, I'd be slowing him down, really, especially like a player like Bellinger, who he's shown some great stuff over the last few years.
Former MVP. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking about a player that probably needs to be in that rehab.
They got two former MVPs in that locker room, Betts and Bellinger. That's crazy.
So I think in the case of Belly versus Betts, I think Bellinger probably needs some substantial amount of time to fix these underlying things that are going on. For sure.
It's not what we want to hear, but we want the truth. We always want the truth. That's bad news for me, because I have him on a really important team I'm trying to win, but I just know he's got a 284 OBP. It's so crazy. He should not have a 284 OBP. This guy's an MVP, hit 47 bombs. He's so good. So he's clearly in pain, man. He's not healthy at all.
Bellinger, got a lot of love for you. Never met you, man. I hope that you work through all these things, but with the shoulder and the hamstring and through the chain like that, we got to be, let's talk in the rehab side, we got to be very careful with this. We got to get it under control. We got to figure out what is breaking down in this chain and get to the bottom of it. We're in the middle of the season. How old is he? 26.
Yeah. He's in his mid 20s. So
we're talking about it. Is he ARB eligible yet?
That's a good question. He's been in the league for like 4 years. I would think he is. Yes.
He's close.
Yeah, he's got to be.
Talking about a player that really kind of needs to figure it out. And if he needs to take extra time, he's got to take extra time. He's got to get it right. So
yeah, I got it right. He just turned 26. God, he's so young.
And he's still under major league minimum, I'm guessing. Didn't sign a contract yet.
Yeah, well, he's in the R because he came up in 2017. This is his fifth season, full season.
And so when would he be ARB eligible?
That would be after this year. Contract status. Yeah, he's ARB eligible and free agent in 24.
In 2024.
He'll be a free agent then, but he is ARB eligible after this season, yes.
Okay, so we're talking about a situation where it's very important for him to show good statistics and to get to that point for next year. So now we have a situation. So this is what we have to look at. So now we have a player that wants to play. Now we understand he's pushing harder than probably his body. Okay, so we got a situation here where he's looking to get himself into a good position in the offseason to get looks and to get some money, but his body is not necessarily feeling that as well. If I was on his, I would say right now is a very important point in the season for him. The next 3 to 6 weeks for him, the way I'd advise the player, if it was the player I was working with, is take the next 3 to 6 weeks, get yourself right, and then try and end strong. So I would hate to see him bouncing back too quickly, to be honest with you right now.
Boy, well, he did pinch hit yesterday, which again, I think would kind of feed into what you're saying there, because they said, okay, he tweaked it. They have an off day today, so they didn't want to start him on Saturday or Sunday, but he did pinch hit yesterday, which I would feel like maybe he pushed for that based on this ARB situation. We don't know that for sure, of course. I'm sick of the qualifications. People know. We're not experts. We're just trying.
Yeah.
An expert when it comes to injury, but I will tell you this. We don't know what's going on inside their heads, so we're not going to predict
I don't work for any of these teams. I don't know. I do understand what could be going on. And I think, bottom line is if we're talking fantasy baseball here, I'd be careful. I'd be really careful.
really accentuated that careful.
A lot of emotions going on. And you know, I would kind of, you know, if I have a chance to say something to Cody, right? If he was somehow crazily listening to the Enrico Palazzo podcast, I would say,
he's got an off day on a Monday here. Yeah.
Yeah. Cody, my man. Take care of number one, take care of yourself, right? So if you want to think of it as like, what's the right thing to do, and you want to, you know, manage your teams that way, that's how you got to look at this situation here.
Well said. Really good stuff there. All right, let's fly through a couple of these and we'll wrap it up.
Sounds good.
Mike Trout's been out forever with this calf thing. I just think of the Josh Donaldson calf thing when I think of this now, because it's dragged on forever. And calves really are this big a problem? I mean, he's ramping up. He's starting to run now, but he's been...
How long ago was this?
This was way back in earlier in May, and it's been past the 6 to 8 week window. We're on 3 months now.
So a lot of
almost
things...
all of May, June, and July, yeah. Almost. So,
you know, if we took... if we had a son, if I had a son and he had that same injury, he'd be going back a lot sooner and probably even with the little soreness. Now we take a guy like Mike Trout, we take the contract of Mike Trout. They're going to go slow with this. A calf injury, like you said, yeah, 6 to 8 weeks, totally appropriate. So can it affect the player's performance that much? Yeah. I mean, they're pretty much what we call it's going into triple extension. So the knee, the hip and the ankle all kind of going in that direction, as if you'd imagine jumping up into the air. So the ankle's going down, the knee's extending, the hip's extending, and that's how you produce force, even into the ground. So imagine, is it his right or his left? Just out of curiosity.
His right calf.
His back calf, right? He's a righty-righty?
He's a righty. Righty.
Okay, so you think about a swing, you think of all that force he's producing in that back calf. So my answer is, heck yeah, it does. And we're talking about the American League, so we're talking about a player that doesn't necessarily need to be out there. I mean, you know, he could work in as a DH.
And we're talking about a team that's 500. They're 49-49.
Yeah, it can take this long, and with that contract, it's going to take this long. I'm sure he's going to be just fine. I'm sure Mike Trout's going to play this year. He's going to be just fine, and it's just the nature of it.
It just shows you that a guy like him who is just jacked, he's so in shape, it looks like he is. He looks like a modern marvel of a gorgeous body that is trim, fit, can run, can fly, can hit, can do it all. But even an injury like this,
yeah, the calf, person down. Calf's a big muscle, and if you think about it, the bottom of that body, that calf muscle, every time you push off, right, that's how you move around. That's how you get anywhere by that muscle. So you look at the pecs and you look at the lats, like, that stuff doesn't matter as much, but the calf is one of the most important muscles for the athlete. So yeah, no, it might not seem like that because it's just down low. You don't see it as visibly. No, yeah, it's a big deal and it's important. But even if you're made of steel, absolutely. Who's next?
Yasmani Grandel. Now, I hate to even bring this up because we talked before we went on the air. All we could find is torn tendon in his knee.
This is, again, this comes back to the same thing with the hip inflammation. They're doing this on purpose. The trainer has an idea, and the doctor certainly has an idea of what's going on a little more structurally. They could give it another diagnosis if they wished. But what's going on here is they're being more nonspecific on purpose. Torn tendon in the knee. So let's go through what's possible. Well, it could be number one that they just screwed it up and that it's not a tendon, it's a meniscus. And they went in, they cleaned the meniscus up. So that's always a possibility that the reporter got it wrong. But if we talk about the tendon I'm thinking of in the knee that we normally think of, we're thinking of the patellar or the quad tendon. And that's a massive, massive injury. That is some serious stuff. That's not an injury that I think I read something about 3 weeks, not a torn patellar or quadricep tendon. That's the rest of the year, if not parts of the next year. I guess we could think of, the Brewers, who'd we have there? The first baseman, the Brewers. It was a patellar fracture, actually, not the tendon. But
Dan Vogelbeck.
No, Brewers, maybe it was 2 years ago.
Prince Fielder? Oh, I'm going way back here. I'm just Marlins. Throwing out names.
Marlins.
Oh, Jesus Aguilar. Yes, Jesus Aguilar. He plays for the Marlins now, and he played for the Brewers. He was their first baseman.
I'm screwing this all up. But anyway, so torn tendon. Who knows? I hope. Yeah, I read that report 3 weeks. I don't really get that. It doesn't make sense to me. It seems very strange. So if it was a knee scope and they just cleaned up a little meniscus thing, sure, 3 weeks.
And he's a catcher.
Yeah, well, okay. So I wonder if they screwed that up. I don't know. Something tells me Something tells me the reporter might have gotten tendon and ligament or tendon and something else mixed up. I don't know.
That's just very important. You always say it's very important to get the exact detail of what the injury is, yeah, not just general arm soreness or general inflammation, or if there's a forearm tightness. If there is a tear or there's inflammation, those are very different things. You said that to me, and I've really thought about that a lot since you said that.
Yeah, specifics, details matter. Yeah, so yeah. I'm sorry, I don't get.
But they're not giving them to us either. So
yeah, I don't have anything for anybody on Grendel. That's a weird one. I try and find some more. I don't know where you guys all get your news from now for injuries, but you can't get everywhere. It as easily on Google.
No, it's getting tighter. It's getting a little tighter. I agree.
Yeah.
Josh Rojas dislocated a right pinky. Is a right pinky that important to hitting? I thought the pinky wasn't that big a deal.
Well, got to think top hand, bottom hand. Which one is it?
That's true. And throwing the ball, that I guess that pinky does.
Yeah. So not, it's something that they could bounce back from. That's could be a few weeks. It could be a little longer than a few weeks. Could be really nothing to write home about too much. Hitting wise, it could affect their performance hitting. I mean, you know, certainly, especially I would say if it's, I'd kind of say maybe if it was, it depends on how they grip the bat. It could be problematic for the top or the bottom hand, but something that I would say could be a few week thing and not to worry too much about that. That could be absolutely very minimal.
Well, he bats left and he throws right. So take that with all you will. And it's the right pinky. So.
Bats lefty, yep. And it's the left pinky. So it's his top hand.
It's his right pinky.
Oh, it's his right pinky, you said. Bottom hand. Bottom Got hand. It. Well,
and he throws right though. So if that's, it must have been bad enough where it's dislocated too. It's not broken, right? So that's a difference.
Yeah, you don't get a lot of, you don't get as much power at that part of your hand. You're getting more of the power, obviously, on the thumb side. So there's a very good chance that this doesn't really greatly affect the player. How did he dislocate it? Sliding?
Yeah, sliding into a base. Classic, right?
We saw a lot of these, by the way. A lot.
That's why they wear those. I thought that's why they wear those things now. The slide glove.
The oven mitt. Yeah.
The oven mitt. It is. You're right. It is an oven mitt. It's funny.
Call it a mitt, but.
I love it. I'm calling it the oven mitt forever now.
All right. What's next?
we're talking here with David Meyer and Injured to Elite. Follow him. I keep telling you to do it. If you're new to the show, you're watching. We got a great audience for Monday afternoon, by the way. So thank you guys for popping in here. And you're not talking to us, but that's fine. I hope you're absorbing this. You can watch it in perpetuity on YouTube or in the podcast version anytime. A couple more, we're leaving. Jeff McNeil, muscle fatigue in his leg.
What's going on? This is strange. I couldn't tell you. I have no idea what's going on. I mean, a few years ago, I tell you, when I worked in baseball, we weren't saying maybe once or twice a shoulder fatigue. Now,
yeah, that's different. A player, though, a position player with muscle fatigue seems weird.
It's very weird, and it sounds to me like that's being overly, overly cautious on how they're reporting it. So, what are they trying to not tell us? It's any specific muscle or just muscle?
It says leg muscle fatigue.
So, you know, this is exactly what we're trying to understand. Is this a player coming into the training room and saying, my leg is super tight today and I need a day? Or is this the player saying my hip flexor is killing me and it's on fire? And it's really, I'm just using that as an example, and it's really an injury that they don't want to tell us about. Is it one or the other? So that's when you have to start using, has the player been hurt recently? Has the player's performance been good or bad lately? What are all the factors? So I need to know the whole picture there, but that sounds very bizarre. That's very bizarre.
He did pinch hit yesterday, drove in two runs with the hit. So that's cool. But that's about it.
And then he had to run.
There's no pinch runners, at least to first base. You do have to run to first base in the major leagues.
And then fatigue is the next day? We heard about that today.
No, this started Wednesday. So he's been like sitting out and just pinch hitting Wednesday.
So he's playing. He's not on the IL, but they're reporting that he's got fatigue.
Yeah, well, yes. So Wednesday he's got the fatigue. He doesn't play. He's just been sitting on the bench, but he pinch hit yesterday. So
they're trying to work him. Yeah, and I guess I'm guessing they're trying to work him back in and just So it sounds to me.
So I'm thinking maybe this will be a short term thing, and hopefully he would play this week.
This is the type of example where I think they're deloading now. Something that might be going on, I don't work in baseball right now anymore. So I think what might have happened since 2017, the last year I was there, I think they're collecting a lot of data. And I think they are, even subjectively asking the player, I think they are really being proactive about deloading the player in situations like this. So I think that this to me screams slam dunk example of that, because the player worked in as a pinch hit. You know, they're not doing that. If there's teams are not dumb like that. They don't just play a player like that. So This is a slam dunk example of load management.
Especially Jeff McNeil. He's a very important part to the Mets team, what they do, and they don't want him to be hurt.
Yeah, this is load management.
Wow, this is so fascinating. So fascinating. Yeah. Carlos Carrasco, he missed the whole season with a torn hamstring, but he's ramped up. He's done a rehab, did three innings. He pitched a pretty minimal pitch count, 39 pitches. Can he show up in the major leagues after that?
He had surgery for his hamstring?
I believe, yes. I believe he did. It was torn. It had to have been surgical because he's missed the entire year. He didn't play at all, and he hasn't had a single moment on the mound this year.
And until which leg is this?
This was which one? Let me double check on that. That is important because he is a right-handed pitcher.
Right-handed pitcher. Okay.
Yeah. Hamstring. But it sounds like such a nasty injury that I wonder how this guy was able to come back this far ahead. I mean, a torn hamstring for a pitcher sounds like something that would just be devastating. Devastating, right? And he was
any baseball player.
It's his right hamstring. So it's not his push. It is his push leg.
It's his push leg. It's not his land leg. So actually, you know, I look at it twofold. With the land leg, I'm pretty concerned about how those forces dissipate up the chain, because now that land leg, as he's throwing the ball, where are those forces going? The hamstring's not doing a lot of its job if it's not back to full strength. So you hope, number one, that he's done full complete rehab to get that hamstring as strong as possible. But I get very concerned about the rest of his body, the rest of his chain. He had surgery when?
That's what I'm efforting. I'm thinking maybe he didn't, though. Could you rehab a torn hamstring?
Yes, absolutely.
Then I think that's what happened then. I'll verify that here. I'm looking that up, but
most likely he did not have surgery. It's in smaller cases that we do operate, but so if it was last year and he's working his way back up, then it sounds like he went through a nice lengthwise. That's a good amount of time. So he should be getting pretty close, I would hope.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
So the thing about a hamstring versus like Tommy John, when you're going through Tommy John, think about with Chris Sale, is you're loading that elbow now, and that's a progressive thing because that's a graft that's put in there. They put essentially different tissue. So with the hamstring, it's his own tissue. You don't have to necessarily load it for a 3 to 6 month period like that to acclimate it. We call it a process of ligamentization in the elbow with Tommy John. So that new tissue that's put in there, we want to stress that tissue a long time and a lot over time versus a hamstring or versus a quad strain, something of that nature. That's his tissue. He might not have to repeat those steps as long. So it could be a quicker process.
Yeah. He didn't get surgery, just to be clear. He definitely rehabbed it and looks like he's going to make his debut here soon. They're saying they're really pushing up the timeline on this too. So he pitched a lot of simulated games too before he went on the rehab start. So he's been pitching a lot, it appears, based on the information I'm reading.
Yeah. I do get concerned about hamstrings, and the way I would look at it is it could be a nice addition to your team towards the end of the season. And then you could, you don't have to worry too much about the long term. So it could be good timing for him.
Alex Bregman's got a left quad strain. He's going to start rehab this week. I assume he'll be fine, but last year he missed like 20 games with the hammy injury. This year it's the left quad strain. These are soft tissue injuries for Alex Bregman. Is that a pattern, or is that just, it could be fluky. Everybody can get soft tissue injuries. Or is it possible that a player like Bregman is just a little more prone to them because it's in the legs both times?
We see a guy like Bregman. We see he's a strong, strong kid, pretty powerful. We see this.
Yeah, he gets dismissed because he looks smaller, but he crushes the ball, and he's a great player.
I think he's very strong.
He is.
Yeah. We do see a lot of quad hamstrings in players like that. And quad injuries in ball players are another kind of gnarly one. They can sometimes be very difficult to get full power back with. So something, you see with that is not getting to full speed, especially around the base paths. You could hit okay. So talking about field defense versus offense.
And steals.
And running the base paths, but it can be something where production at the plate might be pretty decent, but might be difficult to get that top speed back and feel the, you know, back on the grass. So they could be pretty lengthy rehabs, and they can sometimes take a few months.
He hasn't come close to the 40 home run power he showed a couple of years ago. And some people are saying that was because of the trash can gate first, but even I know that maybe that could have added a few home runs, and I don't even want to get into all that. But if the injuries are the issue, that could be a much more tangible reason for why the power has been sapped. You just described it.
Yeah, could be. It could be. I mean, I would generally, I think a lot of players are able to hit pretty decently, you know, even with, especially the quad is usually not like a, it's usually more of an acute injury that they don't really play that well through. So it's hard to say, but quads, hamstrings, those are kind of in the similar boat there of taking a long time, really affect player. You could think of it this way. Hamstring, a lot of times related to the overall ability for that athlete to slow themselves down and stay healthy. Quad performance, being able to, you know, run faster, throw the ball harder, throw, you know, things of that nature, hit the ball harder. So kind of like a yin and yang injury right there. But both kind of affect the player similarly.
Carson Kelly fractured his right wrist a month ago, and now he's coming back. He's rehabbing, and he's going to be back this week in a week.
Yeah.
Do we really expect him to dominate at the plate or even be adequate? You always hear the stories about hand injuries, wrist injuries with hitting, and it takes a while to get back to the pop that they used to have. A fractured right wrist for a right-handed hitter. What do you think?
It could be really difficult from a performance perspective. They could be fully healthy. The bone is fully healed. And because it's your hand, imagine if you were a golfer and you had a wrist injury, it could be pretty difficult to get your swing back. It's the same thing for a baseball player. So sometimes it can wreak havoc. Carson Kelly is a mentally and physically strong young man. He, I got to work with him a little bit. I have no reason to think that he should be able to figure it out and be fine. But some players do struggle. It's difficult to know and predict which players are going to get caught. A player like Patrick Wisdom, look at him. He had a history. I mean, I don't know how much people know, but you know, he's had a history of some wrist stuff, and he's hitting the ball pretty well now. So, you know, you see,
really?
Yeah, a while ago, but you know, players deal with those things and do just fine. So hopefully Carson will be just like that and bounce
again
back.
He just turned 27 on July 14th. So congratulations, Carson. We hope you do well. We hope you're healthy. I have to admit, selfishly though, Carson, I'm a big Dalton Varsho fan, so I really want him to continue to play. And he is absolutely crushing the ball since you've been out. So I don't know what they're gonna do there. But Dalton can also play the outfield. So he's a great athlete. And catchers are great athletes more often than not, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We got through it.
We did it, man. I was going to mention Steven Strasburg, but I'm just like, the guy's a mess. I don't even know what to say. What's he got to say? He's got everything. Last year he had carpal tunnel surgery because he was numb.
Yeah. So the thing that I'm thinking with Strasburg, he had TJ early in his career, right? His first few years. And you're talking about, are we a decade past that? Like,
yeah, we really are.
Yeah.
That was like 2011.
Right. So at the end of the day, no player is going to be unscathed from a major surgery. He had two, didn't he?
I'll verify that. But I mean, the point being is he had carpal tunnel surgery last year. Then he has a neck strain, shoulder inflammation. This is all over the last calendar year here.
Sounds nerve related. It sounds like, you know, sometimes we see this in players with stuff in the brachial plexus, the nerves that leave under the clavicle, thoracic outlet. That kind of thing. So this starts to shape into like that type of situation where we think of thoracic outlet syndrome. This might be the one case where, you know, Dave hit that one on the head. I don't know. I don't want to be premature with this, but you might hear a conversation about something like a thoracic outlet syndrome. If he's getting carpal tunnel and then shoulder stuff like that, it almost sounds exactly like that to me. So that's a tough one. That can really affect you from all angles because of the nerve involvement, numbness, tingling, weakness in the muscle. So I'm wondering if he's getting some nerve stuff throughout his arm, some compression of one of his nerves.
Well, we know it definitely happened. Supposedly the surgery fixed it, but it doesn't. I'd be dubious of that with the shoulder inflammation and then the neck strain.
He had thoracic.
No, he had the carpal tunnel.
He had the carpal tunnel surgery. Well, yeah. So that's all right. So now if he had surgery in the wrist, and we're thinking thoracic outlet through that thoracic outlet up there under the clavicle and that first rib where all those nerves go, they can also mimic injuries or numbness or tingling down in the wrist distally. So if he had that carpal tunnel surgery and he's still feeling stuff, now I'm starting to really wonder if it was higher up the chain and it was somewhere else. So that sounds like that could have been mimicking more carpal tunnel stuff with thoracic outlet going on.
Oh boy. Yeah, well, he just signed a mega deal last year.
Well,
$245 million. So they're stuck with him for a long time still. Yeah. They want to get it right as well.
Bobby Bonilla is getting paid still. So.
Oh, God. Yeah, Bobby Bonilla Day every July 1st. When will that end? A couple more years? I think it's finally over.
I think it's a few years.
He's a smart guy. Bobby Bonilla was smarter than everybody else. That's for damn sure. There it is. We did it. We want to thank everybody. Hope you enjoyed this. And if you did enjoy it, let us know, Tweet at me, DM us, PalazzoPodcast at ProtonMail.com, PalazzoPodcast on Twitter or Instagram, 2Ls, 2Zs.
Utah.
You can share. Hey, I like that, David Guy, and I want to hear more about injuries. And here's what I'd like to hear about. If you guys have specific players and injuries you want to talk about next Monday, because we're going to try to do this every Monday, as long as David's available, as long as I'm available.
We'll try and do it. And hey, all you out there, you love baseball, you watch baseball, you play fantasy baseball. I'm sure you have your fair share of injuries yourselves. So if you want to learn my approach, head over to Amazon. Injured to Elite is the name of the book. I got an audiobook for you commuters out there and those that like to listen to that kind of thing. And the podcast, I got to say, I got some ball players for you. I got Matt Holliday. I got Daniel Bard. I got Ryan Sheriff. Some minor league ball players come on, some mental skills coaches with the Diamondbacks, and plenty of baseball content for you on Injured to Elite. So check it out. And Michael, thank you for having me.
Well, how about your buddy, Ryan Sheriff of Tampa? He's been...
He's back up there, right? He's going up and down. And I haven't talked to Ryan in a week or two, so I got to give him a call. But,
I've been following his career much more closely since we had that conversation.
How's he been doing?
Decent. He's not been getting the high reps. I thought he'd get some more opportunities than he's gotten, but their bullpen is stacked, man, and they know how. I don't know if anybody's better at using a bullpen than the Tampa Bay Rays. I'm serious when I say that because they have so many guys, and Nash and the crew, they know exactly how they want to use them at all times. And I've just been a fan of him. I'd like to see him get some more opportunities, but he hasn't really had that many so far, so it's been pretty limited. But I hope.
Me too.
I wish for the best. So.
I'm just happy to see him back up there. It's awesome that he's persevering. But hey, how about baseball in the Olympics? What do you think?
Hey, I don't know what's going on in the Olympics. I just can't even. It's like, is it really happening? It just seems weird this year. It's just like,
yeah.
It's like there's a lot of corruption. I hate to be a buzzkill, man, but IOC is a messed up place.
You're absolutely right.
I don't want to ruin it for the athletes, which sucks because it's the same problem I have, David, with University of Michigan football. They've got this whole thing that's going on with this doctor who abused hundreds and hundreds of athletes over 40 years. He was the team doctor.
Right.
And I don't want to ruin it for the current athletes that are at Michigan now, but it's a massive, it just hangs over. And I'm not the kind of guy to just dismiss stuff like, hey, all for the glory of the best for the program. That's just not me. I'm going to keep it real and I'm going to talk about what's going on.
There's even corruption in the Little League game down the block from everybody. There was probably corruption in the Grecian days, any sport, anything. It's true. I mean, I was up in Lake Placid with the USOC a little bit and I heard, it's true, man. You got to just, hey, you know what? You got to enjoy it for what it's worth. I liked watching the gymnastics, Simone Biles, and she's a competitor. I get a kick out of watching the gymnast, the female gymnast. I think they got to be some of the most incredible athletes out there. They make baseball players look like, I don't even want to say it, but
I agree.
They're phenomenal athletes. Fun to watch. You can see it in their face. They're not quote unquote getting paid for it, but their effort level. And you don't want to talk about working through injuries. I mean, they're unbelievable.
I've watched a couple docs about gymnasts, unfortunately bogus stuff, but also amazing stuff too. You learn a lot, and God, but it's just like you said, it's another place that's rife for assholes to go in there and do dumb shit.
Yeah, no, they're...
The athletes themselves, I'll keep it there. They are incredible, and the things they can do blows my mind. I mean, I'm a 40-year-old white guy. I can't do anything. I'm like, wow, that is amazing what these people can do.
You haven't been playing the softball lately.
Oh, I have. Yeah, I played yesterday.
Don't sell yourself short. There you go. A little sore.
Look at me turn in on that inside slow pitch coming in at 20 miles an hour. Watch out. So
take you on an injured to elite. We'll do an injured to elite session one of these days. I'll take you through a little arm care program live. Show people what we're talking about.
Now that's where I can use some help. That'd some arm fun. Care, maybe a couple ticks on my velocity. That would really help me out. I'm into that. I would love to model that.
You got to get Robbie Rowe on the show. You know Robbie Rowe? I worked with Robbie Rowland a little bit when I was with the Cardinals. He's got a huge I'm sure some of your audience knows Robbie Rowe. He's got a cool Instagram account. Check him out.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I will. Yeah, I don't know who that is. He's
got a big personality like you, too.
Hey, I'm the big man with a big personality. I did hit a big double with the bases loaded yesterday. That felt good. Right down the line. It just dropped right on the line. It's so beautiful. Line drive. Mm. That's when you feel good. It feels good to be outside.
The thing that I don't like about adult softball, I was in Brooklyn. I was in Williamsburg walking by big park over there. And no fence.
Oh.
The outfielders are just all the way out there. And they were legit. They were, pumping the music, walk-up songs. Like, they were taking it a little too seriously. But they were crushing the ball. And then there's the outfielder playing way too far back. And I think that's ridiculous.
Play like 350 feet.
Like, what is that? It's silly.
It is silly.
If you're playing softball out there, give yourself a fence. You need a fence.
I agree. I don't want to take it. I don't want to be a psycho about it, but a fence is a requirement. I want to have a fence.
You should not be able to. Yeah. And if you don't have a fence, put some cones or something out there, put somebody in the outfield. And if it's past a certain point, no, that's ridiculous. I take that effect. When I was in PT school, we played some softball and I crushed a few, and then somebody, you can't catch that. It's over the fence.
Imagine if Major League Baseball didn't have fences and the ball just carried forever. I mean, what kind of games would we see? Pitchers would have no chance.
Well, that was called the 1860s. The Polo Grounds.
Ah, yeah. It was like 475 feet to one area.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
People get pissed.
I used to play those. I had this game when I was younger because they let you play in the old stadiums, and it was impossible to hit a home run in certain parts of it. Because you're right. It's like it starts out normal, and then like juts way out there, Sportsman Park, all these weird ass places, Scheib, a bunch of old ass places that were very, very strange. But that's why I love baseball, because it has these unique dimensions. It's not like a cookie cutter, like a football or a hockey or a basketball arena. It's kind of cool.
It is.
And will always be the most unique thing to me about baseball.
So look at that. We did a full episode just now.
We really did. We couldn't help ourselves. David is too entertaining and talented and knowledgeable. So I hope you guys dug it. We're going to keep trying to do this when we can. Make sure you follow David. I've said it 800,000 times. I'll be back on at 5. I'm going to do a prospect segment with Phil Goyette. So if you want to come back at 5, we're trying to keep it to 20 minutes, but we saw how this went, so who the hell knows. And then we're doing a full episode at 9 o'clock with Carlos Marcano. So it's a busy Monday. I'm going to Georgia this week. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to listen to the Injured to Elite book.
I love it.
I'm going to do. I got a 13-hour drive. What's a better way for me to knock out 13 hours than to listen to your book? It's about time I did it anyway. So,
my man.
I will have a full report on that when I get back.
My man. I appreciate it. It's been fun.
I appreciate it too, my brother. All right. Thanks, everybody. Joey says, I feel like Sammy Sosa high heat baseball used to have all those stadiums. Yeah, I don't remember that one. He cheated, though. We do know that. Anyways.
I love that. Joey Ricotta.
Oh, you like that name, man?
Oh, man.
Joey's a good dude. Joey's a fine, upstanding American, and I still have to be on his show, Joey. We have a very old date to be on your show, so let me know when we can do that. See you guys in a couple hours. See you guys tonight. Follow David, Injured to Elite. Bye.
Thank you all.
Rule 5, picks that stick are hard to find. From Chris Shelton to Reed Garrett. These ones promising names litter my mind.